Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Ashley Lang broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road with Straight Talk. Selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's multi-award-winning public affairs
program.
And
good afternoon and welcome to this Friday edition of our live Straight Talk program. We are live today, just not from Substation 2. We had a few technical difficulties this morning at the Radio House, so we are broadcasting live today from our WRHI studios right here at OTS Media. But this program is presented to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And we want to thank our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. We also want to thank Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy for 60 years, Camden Avenue at Ebenezer Road. And today we are joined with Rose Shamileski and Karen Brown. They are volunteers with the Spay and Neuter Coalition. So welcome. Thank y'all for being here.
Thank you.
If you would, Rose, I'm going to start with you since you're kind of not new to the microphones. Tell us a little bit about yourself first, and then we'll get started about the Spay and Neuter Coalition.
All right. Well, hi. I'm Rose. I'm a mom to a little boy, and he's actually here with us today because it's a half day at school. So I figured, you know, teach him about the animals and learn from there. And then I, you know, volunteer in the community and a business person. And
love pets, right?
Yeah, love pets.
That's right. Karen, what about you? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Karen Brown. I've lived in York County, let's see, over 33 years. Been in rescue work for at least half of that time, if not more. Two grown children, born and raised here, and now they've moved on. Anyway, I'm just really happy to be here today.
Thanks for being here. I'll let either one of you just kind of jump in. First, tell us a little bit about the Spay and Neuter Coalition.
So the Spay and Neuter Coalition, Project Safe Pets started the community program over 10 years ago. It was probably 15 years ago. And back in 2017, I believe, we formed the Spay Neuter Coalition. So what it is it's like an umbrella. So we have this organization, and then we have these other rescues that come together and put, you know, the pieces of the puzzle there. And we all work together to help spay and neuter our county. Okay. So it's a low-cost, no-cost spay-neuter program. So even if you don't have the money, or say you have $25 towards the animal, or you see an animal that needs to be fixed and you need help, we're there to help. So there's really no reason to not spay and neuter your animal, basically. And these other organizations that we work with, they are the ones who actually fund the program. So we don't get grants. We don't have sponsors. It's the rescue organizations that are funding the program.
Karen, is the Spay and Neuter Coalition local? Is this something that's national? And everyone just kind of funnels up in underneath the coalition per where you live? What does that look like?
No, the coalition is something that was developed just for York County. Other counties, you know, in areas of the United States may have different, you know, something similar, but this is unique to York County. And the whole idea is you can call a hotline number. A lot of people don't like to make phone calls these days, right? So they like to just go online. So we have, you know, links to the form that you fill out. It's very quick. You put in your information. It goes off to our trustee volunteer who then takes that info, schedules appointments, gets back with the people who sign up, and, you know, and it gets arranged. They're one-day appointments when you drop your pet off in the morning and you pick them up the same day. They're all the clinics that we use are in York County. We try and make it convenient for people and choose a clinic that is closest to them. Sometimes we, you know, there's some variables there, okay. But we try and take that into consideration, you know, as far as days of the week, and, you know, we try and accommodate the people. But other than that, it's a pretty simple way to go about doing it, and it's accessible, like I said, to everyone.
Now, I know we're going to get into some numbers. I know, Rose, that you have a lot of numbers regarding dogs and cats and spay and neutering. And without being too graphic, you don't have to get into all the graphic details, but what exactly does it entail? Is it painful for the animal? What does it mean, and why is it so important? Rose, I'll let you take that question.
Okay. No, it's not painful for them. They go under. It's a very easy recovery. They give them pain meds. They go home with an e-collar.
Which is a cone? Is
that, yes.
It's the cone of shame, which we call it sometimes at home.
Exactly, the cone of shame. Like I said, they send them home with pain meds. It's a simple process. It's a very easy procedure. What was the other question? Sorry.
We can get into numbers at this point. Like, why is it so important? How many? And then from there, let's talk about numbers, what we did in 2024.
Okay. So, you know, it's really important to spay and neuter your animal. We talked a lot about this on the session last year. But so I had someone that I knew, for an example, they had a one-year-old dog. She had 9 puppies. 8 months later, she had another litter and had another 9 puppies. Well, the first 9 puppies, not all of them got new homes. So 5 of them, I believe, were outside, 8 months old, in a kennel, and the mom was inside with her new 9 puppies. Mm-hmm. So that just kind of shows you that there are no homes for them. So Karen actually had helped me out with that situation, and we were just going to do like flea meds, heartworm medicine, dewormer, try and get these puppies a home, get them into rescue. And Karen went there, and it was just a terrible situation. And animal control ended up coming in and taking those dogs that lived outside, and we're pretty confident that they ended up getting euthanized. Mm-hmm. And it's just sad because spaying that dog could have prevented 18 animals.
And does it also, I mean, looking at it from, I guess, not necessarily that these people were breeding the dog, but
no,
is it also...
No, they were accidental litters.
So is it safety for the mama dog as well? Like, isn't it true that, like, you can have so many litters and it's maybe not good for that dog as well?
Absolutely. She was only a year old when she had her first litter. And then 8 months later, she had another 9 puppies. So she's had 18 babies and, you know, and she's not even 2 years old yet. Mm-hmm. So that is really, that's not good for her either, because then that can cause a lot of issues with her uterus, and that could rupture and essentially it could kill her.
So is that the typical route or what we see where dogs are concerned versus cats? What does that look like, Karen?
I would the same thing with cats. We have an extreme overpopulation problem with cats and kittens.
They reproduce twice as much.
So Rose is right there. It happens so fast, they can't keep track. And it's very hard. You know, people are trying to feed them and take care of them, not realizing how quickly they reproduce. That's a whole other show to talk
about.
We'll have you back.
That's a whole other show. But, you know...
cats go into heat like every 2 weeks. Okay. Oh. And not to mention, why do you want a female cat who is crying every 2 weeks when they're in heat? It's awful. And so they have litters and they double. And I was helping a property, I remember, when I was pregnant with my son. And this guy had a mama cat who came up, brought her kittens. He's like, okay, I'll feed her, I'll take care of her. Well, the next thing you know, it's been less than a year, and now he has 22 cats on his property. Mm. And this was right here in Fort Mill. And he was just trying to help them out. So I went in, I trapped them all, and we got them all fixed. But, yeah, I mean, that's how fast they reproduce.
So looking from the coalition standpoint or a rescue standpoint, either way, do you work with pet owners to say, you know, maybe this is enough? Like, is there a set amount? I know we don't have a lot of laws, and we're going to get into that here. That's kind of where I'm going with this.
Is there
one of you who goes in and says, hey, you know, you have 5 dogs. Like, maybe this is... start backing off, or hey, you know, you have three cats who just had, you know, some kittens, and now you're not stuck per se, because some people might want all the cats as pets, and you know, they might live in the country and have lots of land, and that could help. But I would guess that there's kind of a fine line between the coalition and the rescue to help folks with this problem.
I think it's all about
what
the
does that look like
of what people are in.
Yeah, and also let me explain. So what it would be is we might get word or learn of a house that has many dogs outside, mm-hmm. or that there's puppies out front, and you know, we hear about it through different ways. You know, people post on social media, they call up hotline numbers. We learn about it in all different ways. And we'd like to try and, you know, help the community. You know, we're not the law. We are here to help for mm-hmm. real, you know, so for real. So we go out and maybe one or two of us might go out, knock on a door, literally, okay. Knock on the door, ask them, you know, introduce ourselves, suggest, you know, offer dog houses, straw, food, flea meds. I mean, it's really kind of crazy. We'll offer free spay and neuter and explain the health benefits and the fact that, you know, you don't need to have all of these animals that they say they can't feed mm-hmm. or they can't take for vet care, you know, because they don't have the money. So we're like, well, let us help stop that vicious cycle and stop it where it's at, and let us help you spay and neuter your pets, all of them. Right. If there's one, if they say they have six, we'll do six.
Okay.
Now, they don't all happen on one day, but we look at the priorities of which animals are most at risk. And then, you know, we assist, and then they then go through the spay neuter coalition program to get fixed.
So does the spay and neuter coalition also help? Like, do you talk to legislators or maybe even at the local level here in York County? Do we have laws regarding spay and neuter? What does that look like? Is that what you want, even? I mean, what does that
yes,
look
that's
like?
What we want.
What
yes.
does that look like?
100%.
And why is that so important?
Okay.
And how do you go about that?
So, I mean, I feel it's important because then that can kind of give us control of the population, right? So if someone can only have so many animals on a property, then that's able to be enforced. That also kind of reduces the risk of having dog fighters. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know I've said this before, but we have them right here. They've been busted in McConnell's and right here in the county. We have people even in the city who have 16 animals on their property. No one wants to live next door to someone who has 16 dogs that live outside. Mm. That's not fair to the animals, but it's also not fair to the neighbors either. And no one can properly take care of an animal.
Right. That's a lot.
You have
that's
your golden lot. That you love.
I do.
So you know.
And it's expensive. I mean, it is expensive. So have we identified the proper amount? Like, what would that magic number be? Are there identifiers that would say...
I don't think we have an amount that a person could own. That would be mm-hmm. a little bit of overregulation.
Right.
And nobody wants to be told what
that
to
you
do.
Can and
that
can't
you can.
Have it.
You
right.
can have two. You can have three. You know, the cities might want to do that because you're living in a higher density mm-hmm. living situations. You know, and you know the animals need space. But one of the things that we have done, as Rose started to talk about, was that we do go to the county council meetings. I have been there countless times on 6 p.m. on the first Monday of the month. Sometimes it's...
You have. You know the schedule.
sometimes it's the third
yep,
also,
yep.
but
You're
not
right.
in the summer.
You got it, Karen.
So, yes, I have been there many times, and each time we go, we beg and plead and provide statistics and, you know, try to, you know, tell the county council that it is it's in their hands. Mm-hmm. It's in their hands. We can get to the root cause of the problem, or of, you know, our overpopulation problem, or we can just keep going at it the same way we have for the last 40, 50 years, you know, that cycle round and round.
Which is pretty much doing what you have been doing.
Exactly. Right? We're chasing, right. You know, just kind of.
And now we're just overpopulated.
Mm. Like, and you only find out from, or how do you find out when people are calling and saying, hey, I'm living next door to, or I just saw 5 stray cats, or, I mean, is that kind of the way the tip line goes,
yeah,
the hotline goes?
Well, us who are in animal rescue, we... Our eyes are always open, right? So people always come to us. Oh my gosh, there's this house who has this many animals that we find out about it. And then I guess how other people find out is exactly doing this, talking to you. Mm-hmm. You know, did you know this information before we came? Probably not.
Right.
And then going to county council, and there's many different ones of us who go to county council, and we're able to show and talk about like different sides and different stories of this problem. And so I think that also brings a good perspective to the table for them.
The one thing I want to say is we kind of, you know, piggybacks on that, but what we started with is we do go to the county council every month, every other month. And I started to say this before, but no matter how many stories we tell them or tell the county in general, not just the council, but the residents, mm-hmm. and the citizens of the county, is that the root cause of the problem that we have with overpopulation is the fact that we're not spaying and neutering our animals. So there's so many of them. You know, every day there's lines. When the hours are open at animal control, which are just, you know, 3-4 hours on 3 days of the week, and one day of the week it's maybe 5 hours. That's when people can go there if they find a stray, but they wait in line and they have to go home and take, they will keep that dog under stray hold in their own home. People can't do that. Now, there's a few exceptions to that, and I know that the director would probably be going, we don't do that with everybody.
Yeah.
I know that there are exceptions. But for the most part, there's no room to take them in. And then, you know, people want to surrender their animal. They have managed intake, which is, they have no choice. Mm-hmm. People are on a wait list for over 4 months. If they have to move and they're trying to do something with all their animals, then they can't take them.
Which then also puts the rescues in a jam as well.
Right.
Because, they don't want the dog to, you know, be euthanized. So they're going to go to the rescues, which also puts them...
Who
are overpacked too.
Right.
So before we're going to take a mid-program break here in a second, but before we do that, what are we talking about number-wise? Do we have a count of how many pets we even have in the county? How many have we spayed and neutered? And how many more do we need to get to?
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, the only number I can give you is how many we have spayed and neutered.
Okay, great. We'll start there.
We'll start with the spay-neuter coalition.
Yes. Right.
Under the coalition, just our program, so for the year of 2024, we spayed and neutered, this is for cats and dogs, 1,807 animals.
Wow.
So we did 1,800 animals. Mm-hmm. So 542 of them were dogs, and you know how I said cats are like double? 1,265 were cats. So put all of this together, and we spent $141,000.
Wow.
On spaying and neutering. And remember, that is all funded through the rescues.
Right.
This is not sponsors. It's not private. It's not grants.
It's not the county.
No, it's not the county. It is these 501c3 rescues that have helped us. And if it wasn't for them, none of this would happen.
Be possible. Mm-hmm. And we're going to touch a little bit more on that after we come back from this mid-program break. And we want to remind everyone that you're listening to Straight Talk. This is live today at the WRHI studios, but normally at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across the street from Winthrop. So make sure that you go by there today and get a sandwich. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. And Piedmont Medical Center is also with us, a community built on care. And you can find out more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Now, we're not able to be at the Substation 2 today. Again, it is on Cherry Road across the street from Winthrop. But we want to tell everybody why they do what they do and what makes them special. They do salads and sandwiches 6 days a week fresh. And the way they do it, on the count of three, Rose, I know you know the drill. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Hey, Manning, I hear the gyros are back at Substation 2.
That's right, Alex, and they are great. They're made to order, served hot on warm, soft pita bread with creamy tzatziki sauce, onion, and tomato. And I can't wait to get one.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Stream TV from Comporium is more than just TV. It's accessing all your favorite shows and movies from here, in there, up there somewhere, here too. We won't tell. It's restarting shows mid-show. It's TV that learns the difference between what you like and what you love. It's what you want, when you want it, where you want it. So yeah, we're more than your internet company. We're your smart TV, just got a whole lot smarter company.
If you have tried traditional weight loss methods of diet, exercise, and medications and failed to see lasting results, you may be a candidate for bariatric surgery at Piedmont Medical Center Fort Mill. Our three board-certified surgeons have performed more than 1,000 minimally invasive robotic surgical weight loss procedures, which can be very effective in long-term management of weight. Piedmont Medical Center Fort Mill, offering comprehensive weight management and weight loss services supporting patients on their journey to wellness. Learn more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com.
Soup, here it is. Soup, here it is. Fight those cold weather chills with a cup of hot soup at Substation 2. We serve a rotating selection of flavors and never know what we feel like fixing, but it's all delicious. Soup and sandwich, what a great combo at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winter.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And we're back. Like I said, we are live on this Straight Talk edition, on this finally Friday Straight Talk edition. How about that? At the WRHI studios, the radio house right here on North Confederate Avenue. And today we are with Rose Shamaleski and Karen Brown with the Spay and Neuter Coalition. So we want to continue our conversation. We have been talking about this for the first part of the show, but I want to really get into about where the funding comes from, what it costs. You say that the coalition doesn't really get grants. There's no grants for this. There's no local funding. There's no state funding for this. And you explain that the coalition is an umbrella and all the rescues kind of funnel up underneath that and do help with that. But what does that look like and how does that work?
So mainly it's three rescues in York County who help fund the program. So it's Halfway There Rescue, Project Safe Pet, and then Carrie's Cats. And they each fund a certain amount every month. And then if we go over it, they split the cost. We do have some Northern Rescues, Worthy Dog Rescue out of Virginia, I believe. They will send money every once in a while, and it will be like, hey, we're going to give $1,000 a month for 3 months. But mainly, it really is Halfway There Rescue and Project Safe Pet. And the thing is that if you go and you advertise, hey, let's raise money for spay and neuter, no one cares. If you say, hey, there's a parvo dog or a dog that's been hit on the side of the road, you raise $5,000.
Why is that?
I think it's because, you know, oh, it's just a spay and neuter. It's not that important, or they don't understand the importance of it. But if an animal is hurting and suffering, that's going to tear at your heart a little bit more, especially if you're an animal person. If you saw that, you would probably be thinking, oh my gosh, what if that was my dog and someone took it in? Okay, I'll give $25. And then it just adds and adds and adds. So,
and what does a typical spay or neuter cost cat or dog? Okay. What does that look like?
Well, if you go to your own vet, which many people prefer to do, you know, they have a relationship, And the cost varies a good bit, but it could cost $600, could cost $400. I would say that's about as low as you would see if you went to your private vet.
Okay.
Possibly more, depending on, you know, like pre-work that's done or special lasers that are maybe used to help heal the surgery site, things that are, you know, optional. But if you're going through the programs that we have set up through the coalition, you're either paying zero if you really cannot. If you can afford to pay some, we're talking $80.
Okay.
And there's a little variation if it's a male or female.
Right.
And there's also a little variation if it's a cat or a dog. I'm not going down the whole price chart.
Right.
But,
right.
But I'm giving you some idea of there's no comparison.
And any pet owner could use the coalition. It's not just for people who are, who are in need of the assistance.
Right. Yes. Right. Yes. Anybody can. And we also have two spay-neuter clinics in York County, though. Okay. We have Snipwell with Dr. Stephanie. She's actually been on the radio with you guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then we have Dr. Blake with Healthy Pets.
Okay.
So they're also the spay-neuter clinics. They're more affordable for pet owners, and that can be anywhere from $100 to $160 for a spay and neuter.
But you're still using techs or vets that are very
knowledgeable
in what they're doing.
And that's what I was going to say. It's the same exact care they're going to receive from their veterinary clinic.
Okay.
So it's not like, oh, they're going to get half the amount of care. It's not. You just have someone who is passionate about spaying and neutering our population and our county, and that's why they've opened those clinics.
Okay.
And we have two clinics in York County who are so full that it's almost hard to get an appointment. You're months out. So we almost need two more.
Oh, wow. I would love to
see
more.
That's the other thing.
Okay.
Is they're so busy, sometimes it's hard to get in.
Actually, what I absolutely love to see would be a mobile clinic.
Okay. Well, you see that a lot. So, you see ones, the trucks that have like rabies.
Yes.
Like, rabies shots.
Yes,
that
do,
kind of
they
thing.
They do that, but I'm talking for spay neuter.
Okay. So you would actually be able to go and have that done right there.
I'm sure some people are thinking,
trembling,
oh my God, that's not trembling. It's not safe.
Right.
But I've seen it happen. I've seen it. There's success, and it's used where it's used properly, where you will have the highest results, and also to reach some of the areas of the community that are really far out, hard to access the clinics because it's a drive.
Okay. Right. I mean, we have people who call from Sharon or South Carolina. We do have people who call from Chester, and we're not going to turn them away.
Okay.
So
what would you tell people if they're asking how they can help? Are y'all looking for volunteers? Are you looking for?
Yes.
Yes and yes.
Yeah.
So what are you going to say?
Are you looking for supplies? Are you looking? What can they do and how can they reach out to you?
I would say volunteers. I mean, we always need more people in the community. Karen does a lot of stuff in the community with animals. Picking them up or checking on them or, hey, can you go run this dog food to them? Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. And you can reach us at 803-980-DOGS.
Okay.
You can call it. Sharon will reach out to you. She'll send a text. And then you can even go on the Spay Neuter Coalition Facebook page.
Okay.
And they have the form site app on there where you can fill it out to get your animals spay and neutered, or you can message us.
All right. Well, Karen and Rose, thank you both for being here so much. And again, we'll maybe follow back up with you before the end of the year to see what we've got. That's a great way to end our program. Thank you for being here again. Straight Talk is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders, and Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. And one more thing, we want to make sure that you do go by Substation 2 today to get your fresh sandwich or salad. They're there 6 days a week from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. And what do they there? We'll say it together. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Have the best weekend. See you on the radio on Monday. Bye.